Hello and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast, where we meet the local entrepreneurs and experts who are leading in their fields. I'm your host, David Travagliate, and I am super, super excited to be back as we have a cracking fifth season for you. I want to start by thanking you, the listener, for tuning in. So whether you've just found us or have been with us since the start, I thank you so much for your support and for being there. The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is sponsored by the Gibraltar International Bank, which shares our passion for all things business. This season comes with fresh new guests, fresh new features, and is coming from a new studio in the heart of town. It's the first time the Gibraltar Business Podcast has had its own home, and I look forward to hosting my guests over the coming weeks. Every season to this date has seen me nomadically go to all of my guests' offices, which I've loved because I'm quite nosy. It's amazing to be able to host them in the heart of town in our new temporary studio, so it's going to be awesome for us. There are also big changes at the GFSB itself over the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for those. So, on to this week's show. This month marks 1 year since Kevin Bosino became the CEO of the Gibraltar Tourist Board. Tasked by the Minister for Business with promoting Gibraltar as a premier overnight and cruise tourism destination, Mr. Bosino has worked in the tourism industry in 9 countries in Europe and Asia and has loads and loads and loads of multi-sector experience within tourism. After Kevin's interview, GBLO's Michelle Tavares shares some news with you in a new feature, What's New Gibraltar? So, Kevin, thank you for meeting me today and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast.
Great. Thank you for having me.
This interview is timely as it's just over a year, I think, since you took over as CEO of Gibraltar Tourism.
Yeah, that's right. Just coming up to a year now. And yeah, it's been a very exciting time. Very, very much enjoying it.
Some listeners will know who you are. Many might not. But of course, you are the CEO of Gibraltar Tourism. I know that from past conversations that you and I have had that you've got plenty of cross-sector experience at senior levels within tourism industries as a whole. There's loads to talk about, but can you share some of those top-line experiences that bring you right now to this role?
Yeah, well, I started here in Gib, as you know, and started up in the Rock Hotel. Then very soon after, at the age of 16, went to Italy. I was in Venice working for a while. Then I was in London with the Savoy Group. And so fast forward to now, I spent quite a bit of time in Asia. Within that experience, I was in Spain as well. When I was in Spain, I was working at the La Manga Group, which at the time was owned by P&O. They ventured into the leisure resorts industry. So I got to know quite a bit about the, I almost joined a cruise ship actually, when I finished that assignment. And then went to Hong Kong. And whilst I was in Hong Kong, at one stage, I was working for Cathay Pacific, which, you know, it's a national carrier in inverted commas of Hong Kong. It was in those days. I was actually in the head office, working in their head office because it was running, a 500 room hotel for them that they were opening. And I was involved when they moved from Kai Tak Airport, the old airport, to Chep Lak Kok. So all the logistical stuff, it was really fascinating. I started off in Hong Kong with the Hyatt Group and then I joined a startup company, which was a kind of a spin-off from Hyatt. They wanted to emulate what Hyatt had done in terms of its development. We ended up with 40 hotels in Asia Pacific. And when you get that big, then you are a candidate for takeover because it's a very dynamic world out there. Then we went through all the different players in the market, the big players in the market. We courted Marriott's, the Marriott's of the world, the IHG's of the world, the Hilton, and Accor eventually won the deal and they took over. So I ended up with Accor at that time with all the peaks and troughs and resets that they had because it keeps on changing. There's a lot of takeovers, a lot of movement in the company. We ended up with, at that time when I left, was 5,500 hotels in the world. I myself was a vice president of operations in Singapore itself and South Malaysia. And I was responsible for about 5,000 rooms, maybe 6,000 rooms, actually. Wow. And then just before that, actually, before one of the major resets that we had, because we took over the Raffles Group, the Fairmont Group, the Swiss Hotel Group, I was still vice president of operations of Singapore. I also have some responsibilities in Asia Pacific, which was something like we had about 880 hotels at the time. Now probably it's gone up to about 2,000, but at the time it was about 880. So yeah, so been
you've been busy,
really,
right?
Really,
been...
very busy.
I know what I pick up from there, and you know, and I think our listeners will appreciate is that you've got experience from hotel, airline, and also from cruise experience. So it's like, you know, those three major players, which are so important to Gibraltar, and you've kind of have that experience at international level. So yeah, great.
Yeah, when it comes to, well, airlines and cruise lines and the hospitality sector, we very much intertwine because, you know, we have crew hotels. I had a hotel where we had, you know, I think something like 300 rooms per night that was only airline crew, you know, British Airways, Qantas, you know, you name it. And we also had cruise line passengers staying with us, you know. So you have a lot of interaction between the three elements.
Yeah, I guess here in Gibraltar also, probably an overused term, but an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of feeding off each other, supporting each other, and I think it reflects business here, but also tourism for sure. Coming down to, obviously, when you took on the role of CEO, obviously it's a huge, great opportunity for shaping Gibraltar's tourist product, but it must have come with some challenges. What are some of them, and how are you overcoming them?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've hit the ground running when I started. It's been extremely busy. I think the first year, it's all about getting to know how government works. That's already a lesson in itself because I've always worked in the private sector. So working for government is a bit different, as you can imagine. But also seeing the relationship between that the government has with the private sector, that's interesting to see from the other side. And then on top of that, it's getting to know all the different players locally and also internationally. So I spend a lot of time doing that, a lot of time traveling to different places to meet with important people around that, you know, can make a difference to us. And of course, it's such a dynamic world, as I was saying before, that things change all the time. People are moving all the time. Companies are taking over. So there's a lot of moving parts, which you need to keep abreast of. You have to be in the front of it. You have to be visible. And especially when it comes to a place like ours, like Gibraltar, because, you know, it's a small place. So we compete with the big boys out there. It's not easy when you're competing with people that have, you know, unlimited resources. Singapore, for example, their budget for this year, the tourism budget only was $500 million with a B. Wow. Dollars, Singapore dollars. So, you know, we've got a huge, huge budget. And we are competing with other sort of, bigger nations and bigger districts.
So Kevin, I think, you know, we've always not punched above our weight, but I think in all areas, Gibraltar does well internationally. But of course, that's a huge challenge. Since you've taken the helm, and of course, you know, if you think of jobs you've taken, first 12 months are spent, as you say, building relationships, getting to know, learning what the challenge actually is and what the role actually is. You have been super busy. I've been seeing a lot of things online and things of initiatives that Gibraltar Tourism has been involved in. What are some of those changes or initiatives that you are proud of developing over the last 12 months?
You know, I think we need to start with the basics. And I think there's been a lot of effort done in the past. But I still think that we need to do more in terms of the greening up, the cleaning up, and the keeping up, which is the maintenance of our products. So I think that goes without saying. I think it's quite a well-discussed topic. And I've tried to do my bit. We've managed to do a few things that little bits help, you know, like the fixed up the entry points. We fix up the frontier entry point. So that's much better than it was before. Things like Lamport Tunnel, tunnels, the casements tunnels, the staircase coming down from Lionwall to ICC, the British War Memorial, Bannister, those sort of things that help the image, because all these things help the image of Gibraltar, you know? Yeah, that's not under my remit, but, because my remit is basically to market Gibraltar as best I can. But I think we need to sometimes help out and work with our colleagues around and trying to steer things in the right direction.
I read something recently that you were involved, and I think you know Gibraltar Tourism was at a fair in the UK talking about Gibraltar as a MICE destination. Do you want to tell me a bit more about that? And what is a MICE destination for those who don't know?
Yeah, look, I think when it comes to tourism, it's a huge area. right? And that's why it takes time to get to know all the players and all the moving parts. It's a huge area because sometimes people tend to think of tourism as somebody coming around with a baseball cap and sunglasses, right? Which is the leisure tourist. But you've got bleisure tourist, which is a business and leisure tourist, somebody coming for business and mixing it up with leisure. You have corporate tourism as well, where you have corporate meetings. Part of it is the MICE business, and I'm not talking about rodents running around. I'm talking about meetings, incentives, conventions, and exhibitions. So I think that's one area I want to focus in because I think I think Gibraltar is an experiential destination. And I think you need to make people come to Gibraltar to experience it, and then they can go to the beach, for example. We are not a beach destination, I don't think, in my opinion. It's something, it's a great added value, but I don't think if you go to a beach, you will go to Portugal, you go to Greece, you go to Bali, you know. But for us, we've got great beaches, but I think it wouldn't resonate for somebody to come over for a beach holiday to Gibraltar. It adds on once they're here for something else. So I think the MICE business, I think, ticks a lot of boxes because, especially on the incentive part, they can go for the small conventions. Exhibitions typically are bigger, but if there are niche exhibitions, we can do that as well. But I think niche incentives are where I think we've got to go. Because when it comes to the incentives, these are companies that want to reward the staff or they want to have a powwow, and you can have a big, large multinational company that just wants to send their executive team over. Or you have a small startup company that wants to send the team over to brainstorm, you know. And because we are a small destination, I think that's a USP. It's a unique selling point that we have. We shouldn't use it as the fact that we're small as a detractor, as something that's a negative thing. I think we can turn it into a very positive thing.
It becomes your superpower, right?
Well, because Gibraltar we become almost like a campus. We're also doing, we're working with, because, you know, we also have educational lines, the educational verticals. You've got leisure verticals, you've got business verticals, you've got sports verticals. Within the sports industry also, there's a huge amount of different vignettes that come out of that. You have squash, we just had the third division European Championships in Gib this year. We've had the rugby sevens, we've had hockey, we've had netball. We've got a big thing coming up with netball in a couple of years' time, 2025. It's no end to backgammon. There's chess.
Chess has been coming for a number of years now. Yeah. You mentioned yourself, Gibraltar's small, right? It's definitely a superpower and it helps us in many ways. But when we're talking about all these verticals and all this potential, we're small. How can we house all of these people? Have we got enough hotel occupancy at the moment?
Well, in terms of hotel room stock, it's something that we always face a challenge with. We go around trying to sell Gibraltar, and I learned very quickly that you can't go for the big stuff, because I've tried to go for the large sports events, the large business conventions, but we just can't do it. We're too small. But having said that, we have been working quite hard, myself and the minister, trying to up our game there. And I think we've got quite a few things. There's been a few announcements already. We've got a few things in the pipeline. So that will help the room stock, the hotel room stock, which caters more to the corporate market, I would say, but also to the leisure, to certain types of leisure guests.
That's great.
We also have the advent of short-term lets accommodation, which will need to be regulated in a light way, because we want to grow, but we want to grow in a calibrated fashion, so that we make sure that things are planned properly and that it goes commensurate with the increased level of tourism.
It's great to know that you're working on developing a room stock, you know, hotel room stock or accommodation stock for tourists. Before we started the interview, so offline, you started sharing some statistics with me. Can you share some of the highlights from the last year of where we are, if you'll share our kind of position on things?
Yeah, look, we have in the volume side of things, because we've spoken about the MICE industry, which I think is, again, very important. We've got the individual traveler. I think there's been a change also in terms of how people are traveling after COVID. I think most people don't want to be stuck in a bus with 40, 50, 60 other people. The trend was already there, but I think it's exacerbated the trend. COVID has exacerbated the trend, and you see a lot more people coming for individual travel. So you have that element where in terms of marketing, our strategies need to change, and we need to taper our marketing to go for that kind of business. Then we have things like weddings, for example. Again, another very niche product that we have. We recently announced the mount that it's going to be geared towards weddings, which is a fantastic yeah. piece of news because we are already pretty strong in weddings. I've even found out that we've hit some nerve in France.
Oh, wow, okay.
For some reason, and we've got a lot of traction in France. We've come out in programs, in wedding programs in France.
It is, you know, Gibraltar's reputation, just from a tourist point of view, you know, like even before we were on my way here today, there was a beautiful scene just outside the cathedral with a really lovely British kind of vintage car. I don't know which car it was, but it was one of those moments. Of course, people want to come and get married here, and of course, they might choose us. We've obviously got Yoko Ono and John Lennon's famous picture in the mm-hmm. rock, which is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, if you like. So yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely an area that could be looked at.
Sorry, and I was saying also then the other, so we got the coach business coming from Spain, but we also have the cruise business, which although it's a volume business, I say that with the utmost respect because you've got some luxury cruise liners as well, and you have you know a lot of well-to-do people using cruises, and that has seen a resurgence. Of course, during COVID, it all came down, but by 2025, we are already up to 2019 levels. So we are up from, actually 2024, we're already 5% up from 2023. And in 2025, we are up by over 11%.
And this is cruise ship calling,
yes, that's right. Whilst other destinations around us have actually dropped.
Okay.
So that's
good to know. I think
it's a good story. Yeah. We're bending over backwards. And that's why I think it's important for everyone to realize that we need to keep on changing. We need to keep on innovating because people who come to Gibraltar, you know, in the cruise liners, for example, you have some of them have even 50% repeat business. So when they come, they want to experience something different, something unique, something bespoke. And that's what they're after. So we need to keep on reinventing the wheel and try to you know, give them a different experiences.
How about the air side? How's that going?
Okay. So again, I think that's seeing some positive numbers as well. We're in between. Well, we've seen that BA has added flights. They thought it prudent to add more flights, which is great news. I'm sure you've seen the announcement of Monarch.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was going back in time, you know, like 6 years.
It's not going to happen tomorrow because they need to do a lot of work to get the airline up and running. But yeah, they've already indicated that they're very interested in Gibraltar. So that's really good news. So our numbers are sort of in between. We're above 2018, quite well above 2018. I think like we're over 13%, and we're just under 2019, only about 4% under. So my stats go up to May, so we could have improved since then.
Brilliant. And that's going to be really positive news, or we're moving in the right direction, especially that's going to resonate with Gibraltar's business community. And I know mm-hmm. that, of course, this is a podcast about business. Many of our listeners maybe running their own business, maybe on Main Street here in Gibraltar, whatever the business they're in, they may be affected by tourist trade, right? So I want to kind of talk and maybe focus our conversation on a couple of issues that were included in the GFSB's election wish list and, you know, talking around those themes. From where you're sitting and given your experience over the last 12 months, what do you feel businesses could be doing more of to improve or contribute to Gibraltar's tourism product?
Well, look, I think in Gibraltar you've got quite a lot of really interesting entrepreneurs around. They're very eager to do business. I think it's our job now to open the doors for them. I think sometimes they go through some quite tedious stumbling blocks. Some of them because they have to, because there's regulations, but some of it can be. Force through a bit more. So I think you know, I've certainly tried my best to help people to open doors for them, to make their events a success or their strategies a success. I think there's a lot to be said about the relationship between the tourism and the private sector. A lot that can be done there together. But I think, you know, in terms of Gibraltar as a whole, you know, I think we need to reimagine what we have to offer, or reimagine Gibraltar. You know, the shopping experience, for instance, the retail experience is, I think, again, it's one of those things that can be turned into a positive. You know, you go to the big destinations and you have the typical brands. Sometimes you don't even know which place you're at because they've got the same brands and it becomes a bit monotonous. But we still have that sort of traditional feel to our main street, to our high street. You know, so I think that's again something that could be celebrated. And I think that goes very, very well in tangent with the quaintness that I think we should have as a destination. You know, we've got the Britishness, all the things that can't be replicated because of our history, because of our culture, things that can't easily be replicated in our vicinity or in any destination around here. So I think we've got a really unique special place, and I think it's a question of getting together more often with the GFSB, for example, or the chamber, and thrashing out what we can do to better our lot for everybody, and so in everybody's interest.
I think, you know, what you just said there, and, you know, the words collaboration and working together, that will be positive for sure, because I know that the GFSB is really eager to work more collaboratively with Gibraltar Tourism and other players in here locally. So I think one of the things they wanted was to reconvene the tourist board. If that happens or not, well, that's on their wish list. But I think words like collaboration and work together and improve shopping and retail in Gibraltar is going to be great. So thanks for sharing that. The business community also, just from our members and from the GFSB's members, are keen on a longer term vision, if you like, or to see that from Gibraltar. How close are we to unveiling a 5 or 10 year strategic plan? And what are the challenges you're facing?
Well, I think the biggest challenge there is the uncertainty of what's going to happen with the fluidity of the border. So nobody really knows until it happens. So I think we've got to be prepared for every eventuality. Of course, if it happens, things will change, and we would need to really rethink how we operate. But if it doesn't happen, it's the same on the other end. We'd still need to really put our heads together and figure out how we're going to make this work. But, you know, I think, again, you know, I think we need to reimagine Gibraltar. I think sometimes the perception that Gibraltar has overseas, even in the UK, sometimes it's actually quite surprising how little they know of Gibraltar, even in our main direct market with 67 million people in the UK. So I think we need to work hard to make sure that the perception has changed, that we reimagine what Gibraltar can portray, and to diversify the experience that once people come to Gibraltar. You know, I'm quite ambitious about Gibraltar Tourism. I think I'm very excited about it. I think the minister is very ambitious about it as well. So I think we work very well hand in hand. And I think already this year there's been announcements of different areas, sort of the mounts. We've had the northern defences that have been worked on. The World War II tunnels have just reopened, and there's talk about the Parsons Lodge, what's going to happen there. The Hollow Rock is as a venue is coming up as well. So, you know, there's a lot of fodder there that can be exploited in the right term of the word. To make sure that the visitor experience improves, and I have to say, you know, from reviews that I've seen, I think the visitor experience that I've encountered have been very positive. Again, one thing that I think is key for Gibraltar is that for Gibraltar you need to come and see it for yourself, because it's very hard to explain what it's all about. And one thing I've stopped doing is saying in all our collateral that we had before is saying how small we are, you know, in the sense that we are was it 2.5 square miles. To me, that's a negative which we shouldn't use. I think the fact we're small is a good thing. But when you say the size, people have a negative impression of it, thinking it's just a rock.
What am I going to do there?
Yeah. We have so much packed into this little place that it's incredible. And that's the feedback that I get from everybody that we entertain, that we bring over. We've had people coming over for Literary Festival, for example, who have come back again on their own accord, because they've loved it so much that they've come back for just to see it in their own light and their own time. I even had a hotel investor that I was thinking, how am I going to sell Gibraltar to them? And I said, oh no, I've been doing because of the Green Channel. That helps us a lot, by the way. And he's actually come back on holiday now. So, because he liked it so much. So
there's just, you know, as a local myself, you know, we're very proud of Gibraltar, what we have here from a business point of view, what we have here for a tourist point of view. There's so much potential. Your job is huge. And the challenge is huge, but the opportunities are great. Kevin, thank you for your time today. Just before we leave and just before we kind of close the interview, it's a question I ask all my guests, so don't hate me for it, but because I might put you on the spot. But on a more personal note, like, so when you look back on your experiences to date, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned?
I suppose the biggest lesson, and maybe it sounds a bit cliche, but it's never be afraid of challenging yourself. You know, I've been in certain roles where I thought, you know, you step into the office one day and you think, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? But then it works out. And, you know, if it doesn't, you move on and you do something else. You know, you never be afraid of failure. That's another one. But generally it does work out and you can achieve greater things. And that goes for the destination as well, by the way. Never be afraid of pushing it.
You're always selling and always marketing. So, again, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much.
What's New Gibraltar? So, Michelle, thank you for joining me on this new feature called What's New Gibraltar?
Thank you for having me.
No problem whatsoever. There's been loads of transformation, new changes happening at GBLO.
That's right.
So tell me about it. Tell us, our listeners, all about them.
Okay, well, we're going through a big transformation. So we've made lots of improvements to the GBLO website. So obviously GBLO is the directory. We have all of the local businesses listed. But we have so many more features to the site now. We have a lot of useful local information. So it's becoming a local hub of information for Gibraltar. And for businesses, we have lots of new features to enhance the exposure that businesses get from being listed in the directory. We have features like deals and articles and classifieds that can all go towards enhancing businesses' exposure throughout Gibraltar. We have lots of new SEO facilities on the website, which not only improve how businesses can be found within Gibraltar and local searches, but are also really valuable towards a business's SEO on Google and being found by a wider audience inside and outside of Gibraltar. So some exciting times at the moment and lots of improvements.
Brilliant. So is the site live now or?
Yes, it is. The platform has always been live, but we upgraded and put the new version out in June. It's been really well received. We still get in the region of around 30,000 visitors a month to the GBLO website. So it's very well used locally. And we have an exciting feature on the horizon, which is also the launch of a mobile app, which is due to come out in the coming weeks.
Oh, wow. So thank you for sharing that insight as to what's happening new at GBLO. And yeah, if you haven't already, check out GBLO and keep an eye out for that app as well.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you for having me.
So that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you to my guests, Kevin Bosino and Michelle Tavares, as well as our sponsors, the Gibraltar International Bank. I'd like to thank everyone who contributes to the project and keeps this podcast going from strength to strength. Matthew, our sound producer, has recently been signed by a record label. Now, as well as doing this, he's an amazing music producer, creates all his own tracks. So I couldn't be happier for him. Congratulations, you superstar. I'll include some links to his music when I share this episode, so keep an eye out for them and please support him by following him. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you found this episode informative, engaging and entertaining. If you want to contact the show or you want to chat with me directly, please do so on any of our social channels. So for this week, it's a goodbye from me. Remember, keep striving for success and stay focused on your goals. See you next week.